Casey, did you make that yourself? Okay, session two. I'm receiving an offering during this session. I want to go to Vegas. I want to double my paychecks. But anyway, no, I'm in this session. I've had a dream of blessing the ministers that have invested spirituals things to us, and I don't want you to think that we haven't done something. You know, and it's not. I mean, if you go by the amount of time that the minister on. It's a very good hourly wage, okay? But barely, Bob. You're in the politics, so you get more than us. So anyway, again, I relate to my beginning times, and I can tell you that. Whenever I was invited and given an honorarium, I was extremely blessed, and I needed it when it was given. And so, even though 30 years might have gone by since, I do know that the same ministers, and most of the ministers today, are paid well, considerably better than when they started. I understand that, but I also know that they are totally reliant upon honorariums or your paycheck that they get. And so, I know how much of a blessing, not only personally, just as being a person, but also being as a minister, when you're given an honorarium, that it's sometimes at one time in our life when that was given, that was what was able to allow Sally and I to do something if we had been wanting to do something for the kids that we couldn't do at that time. And so I do know the same level of faith is required in the same dream that each one of these ministers that have come and. Here. And so if you remember right a few years back, I don't remember, but at this rally, we gave every single minister, we gave them the entire honorarium that was brought, everything that came in that year, plus several thousand dollars more to every minister, even to ministers that had been here for one night. And I knew about them. We sent them a check. And we gave everything away that year that had come in the offerings, plus more. And we're not doing that, in case you're wondering now. But one of the reasons why is because I have been honored, and I have chosen to honor and to thank you. And so that's what you're going to, this offering that I'm asking, that's going to go towards the ministers, you're honoring the ministers. Even though you might not be personally writing a check to them, you're honoring them by giving into this, in this offering. So make your checks out to Breakforth Bible Church. If you're going to give cash, there's an envelope there in front of you. And, or you can also text your giving to BFBC 76959. Okay. Go ahead, ushers, and serve the people. Hallelujah. You know, as I observe what God has done with the ministers that are here, I can't even say this legitimately, but every single person, every single minister is from this region, with the exception of one, which is Reverend Billy Miller. But as I made mention when I introduced him yesterday, he's as much as BFBC as probably many of our, even our own people. He's been with us for over 20 years. And so I'm very grateful to, you know, when we first got started, you know, Pastor Joel got started. Where's he at? He's in here somewhere. Oh my God. What, did you backslide? Okay. There you are. Okay, Pastor Joel, how long have you been pastoring?
About 33
years. Okay. I was sure it was over 30. And so when Pastor Joel, Pastor Jonathan, and myself, and people I've probably been missing and probably shouldn't ask any names, when we got started, there wasn't a lot of Word of Faith ministers in this region. And but look what God has done. I mean, I look in Breakforth in how God has raised up so many people. And in my case, I can't tell you, this is not self-degradation, it's simply a fact. I have watched in my own family, I've watched in people that have God has called to help us, that I look up to. And you get this stupid thought, I wish I could be like them one day. You know, but I'm telling you, that's how rich it is. And it wasn't that way when, especially like Pastor Joel and Pastor Jonathan and Pastor Tim, when we all got started, it was just catching by golly. I mean, that's about how it worked, you know, but now it's not that way today. That is prosperity, folks. We have today Miss April Rose. I love this lady. And she's one that I would not be afraid to give a kiss to, even if her husband was here. Is he here? Okay. Back off, Corey. Back off. I don't see him.
He's in the dark corner.
Oh, he's in the dark corner. Okay. But anyway, you know, April and I have one thing in common. We went 1 year to Rhema.
Hallelujah. Well, this just in. I heard that Pep got in the cut with Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Rusty for the most likes and most shares. So, everybody that's watching, go back, click like, click love, comment, share away, because the more you share, the bigger cut I get for this plug. So I get 10% of his cut. So go like. Anyways, just lying, as Brandy says. Anyways, so before we get started, I am going to pray. So, oh, Father God, we're so thankful to be here. We are expecting to receive from you. Holy Ghost, I thank you that you are my helper. You are my coach. You give me the words to say. And I thank you, Father God, that it does not fall on deaf ears, but good ground. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of my message is a little long, but that's all right, is Know What You Have, Don't Be a Hoarder. And the reason why I say that is I am not a hoarder. Let me preface that. Not at all. But I live on, I grew up and now live on the farm that I grew up on. And when you live 35 miles like away from town, which a lot of people in here understand this, you learn to have a stock pantry. You learn to keep, you know, necessities on hand and, on like, and stockpile. So I am a stocker upper. So, with doing this, I have my Sam's Club membership, the plus, so I don't have to pay for shipping. You know, you get free shipping, so you get all the good big boxes, you know. I have my Amazon Prime, which I know a lot of people are anti-Amazon. Well, sorry, I am Amazon Primer. Anyways, I have all these things, and I keep a good stock of all of my necessities because I do not like running out of things. So, there is nothing, and also, we are a budget family. So we have categories for the stocking up and all of the things. So there is nothing more that irritates me that when I think I'm out of something and I order it and I take it out of our restock budget and then I go to put it away and I find that I either put something in front of it or it was on the wrong shelf and I had it all along and now I just wasted part of this month's budget on something I already have. I mean, maybe that's just me. It's probably just me. But it's so frustrating when you have something and you don't even know that you have it. And I am also, this year, first year BFBI student, and I'm so excited about it. I have grown up in church. I was born into this church. I am so thankful that I was because we got to go to every service because my mom was a worship leader, my father was the head usher and all the stuff. So we were there with everybody else. We were there for all the meetings, all the revival things. And I'm so thankful for it because I wouldn't even be here if we weren't. But that being said, I know some things. I know some things. You know, I know this. I know this. I know the character of God. I know how to pray. I know the Holy Ghost. I know this. Then you go to BFBI. You're like, do I know this? Like, it is not, it's not just I know this, but I know this. We have got to get some things from here to here. Because you guys, we are living in a day and age where we, like Pep was just saying, we've got to take our weapons. We've got to know what's in our arsenal. We have got to know what we have. So I would like you to please turn to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, and I am going to be reading this out of the Passion Translation, so it's going to sound a little different, but I'm going to start in verse number 13, and it says, "We always have to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, for you are dearly loved by the Lord. He proved it by choosing you from the beginning for salvation through the Spirit, who set you apart for holiness and through your belief in the truth. To this end, he handpicked you for salvation through the gospel so that you would have the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, dear family, stand firm with a masterful grip on the teachings we gave you, either by word of mouth or by our letter." I was reading this a while back in my personal time, and when I read this, it went from here to hear, because like I said, we have got to know some things. And I'm going to point out three things out of this that really was good and hit me. The first thing that we need to know is that we are loved and we're chosen by God. Now we know this, right? We know this. We know that we're loved. But do you know that you are loved by God, that He picked you from the beginning? He chose you before you were even born. He knew you. He set you apart. He sanctified you. This is God that we serve, the creator of everything. He loves you. He prefers you. And when I read that, I thought, this is a dumb example, but this is the example that I had in my head about being preferred and handpicked by God. Shayna and Kate and I went to Florida, like back in August or whatever, and we went to this restaurant, and she had a little preferred card for this restaurant. So we go up there, and it's like starting to pour cats and dogs, because sometimes in Florida it does that, like downpour, and then it stops, and it's really weird. Anyways, I'm glad to be in the weather that we're in. But that being said, so we go to this restaurant, and they're like, yeah, it's going to be like a 40-minute wait. She's like, well, I have this Landry's Preferred card. They're like, oh, okay, well, let me look. They're like, okay, it'll be about 15, 20 minutes. And it cut our time in half. When you're standing in the rain, that's kind of, I mean, yes, I had an umbrella, but still, you know what I mean? Come on. So, that being said, it cut our time in half. Well, guess what? When we are a child of God, it doesn't cut our time in half. We're there. We're already at the table because that's been set before us. He prefers us. We are like VIPs. We're even better than VIPs. You know what I mean? We have got to know this. So then when we have that mentality, when we know this, it's not here, it's here, we don't like approach God with, oh man, have I read my Bible today? Right. Let me read it and then I'll talk to him. Or let me pray in the Holy Spirit. Now I'm not, that's back in my message. Anyways, I'm not getting ahead of myself. I'm not downplaying that, the importance of that. Please hear my heart. I'm just saying, when you know that your Father God loves you, that you, where you are positioned, where He has put you, who you are in covenant with, that the veil is torn, you get to boldly approach the throne room of grace. You don't have to, oh no, somebody on the day to take it. You know what I mean? You can, no, Father God, I love you. You love me. This is what I'm dealing with. I'm asking for your help. That is what we need to know so that we aren't timid about it, because He's our Father and He loves us. Amen? So the second thing that we need to know is in verse, I'm going to read verse 14. Again, I'm reading out of the passage. It says, to this end, He handpicked you for salvation through the gospel, so that you would have the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to know that we have the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Passion, they have those little footnotes, and after the word have, this is the footnote. It says, or share in, or possess. This is the Greek word, I wrote it down so I could say it, peripoiesis. I'm probably still slaughtering it, but anyways, doesn't matter. It's Greek, right? Greek to you. Greek to me. Say the word. anyways. Okay. So, it's the Greek word, which means an encompassing, a surrounding, or encircling. Believers are brought within the perimeter of the glory of God through Jesus Christ. There is nothing in the context to imply it is a future event, but rather a present enjoyment and participation in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a present enjoyment and participation in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we have. We possess it. It's already ours. But do you know that you have it? Holy cow, when I read that, I wanted to take a lap around the house, but my kid was still sleeping, so I didn't want to wake him up. But you know what I mean? That's exciting, church. Holy cow, we have the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's in there. It's in there. Oh, there's Pastor Jeremy. Whoa. You know what I mean? Like, but how can it be a present enjoyment if you don't know? If you don't, you just, oh yeah, that's good, I know that. No, we have to know these things. Because, let me open this Bible here. Jesus, I'm just pointing this out in another spot in the Bible, so you don't think that I'm like blasphemous or something. In John chapter 17, in verse 22, Jesus was praying for the believers. And He says in verse 22, He says, and the glory which You gave Me, I have given them, that they may be one just as We are one. Holy cow, I think we need to like say law for a second. That they may be one just as We are one. He has given us the glory that God gave Him, that He has. That's in us, you guys. So good. Now, I wanted to look, so when Jerry Savelle was here, I don't even know, was that 19? When was he here? 18, 19? So anyways, doesn't matter. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. When he was here, he was preaching on the glory one night because that's what God had laid on his heart. And he had defined the glory as God's manifested presence, his manifested goodness, and his manifested power. And which is good, and I'm not saying that that definition was wrong, but I wanted to dig a little bit more and see in this context in 2 Thessalonians what exactly it meant, because that's where my mind, I want to try to get it so it's not just here and like, oh yeah, that's good, but I want to get it in here. Anyways, if this is not redundant, it will be by the end of my message. Okay, so in the Greek again, the glory that is used here, it's doxa, D-O-X-A. It is opinion that's always good, praise, honor, or glory. And like Jay was saying the other day, it's so great when they use this word in the definition that you're trying to like understand. So great. So I was reading this on whatever tool it was online, and they have like more that explains it more. So the usage of it is honor, renown, glory, yay, and especially divine quality, the unspoken manifestation. And I was like, oh, this is getting gooder and gooder, as Pastor Jeremy would say, because I'm like, ooh, especially divine quality. I like that. It corresponds to the Old Testament word kabo, meaning to be heavy. Both terms convey God's infinite intrinsic worth. And I was like, okay, that's really good, but what does intrinsic, I got to say that right, mean? Because I'm not my brother Joe, and I'm not a walking dictionary, so I looked up what intrinsic means. And that means belonging naturally, essential, which after 2020, we all know what essential means because we all, you know, come on. So that one we should be pretty good on. It also means something that is natural or inherent as opposed to something that has to be learned. I'm like, ooh, say what? As opposed to something that has to be learned? Like, I don't have to figure this out? Like, I don't even have to learn a new skill? Wait, we're getting somewhere. So the glory literally means what evokes good opinion, something that has inherent, natural worth. This is what we have. This is what our present enjoyment is. This isn't something that we need to gain understanding in. This isn't something that we need to take a class on. This isn't something that we need to read the word about, because it's naturally ours. It belongs to us. It's already in there. Just like a bird flying, the glory is naturally a part of us. You can't take a bird's ability away. Yeah, a bird's ability to fly away from him. You can't take the glory of God away from us. You guys, this is exciting. This is exciting. We have to know these things, because when you know this, you get to be, you get your shoulders are back a little bit. You might be, oh, I got this. You know, crack your neck like, what? Devil said what to me? Oh, no, sir, you did not. Because you don't understand. Jesus gave me this. I now walk in this. God's opinion of me is always good. It doesn't matter that I messed up yesterday. It doesn't matter this. It doesn't matter that. No, my Father God loves me. His opinion is always good. And I have the glory of the Lord residing on me. I don't have to work for it. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to learn about it. It's in there. This is what we have. This is exciting stuff. The third thing, I'm like, I'll just move on since apparently I'm more excited. That's okay. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'll preach myself happy. I'm okay. I'm okay with that. Okay. Number three is we need to know the word of God, because in verse 15, it says, so then, dear family, stand firm with a masterful grip of the teachings we gave you, either by word of mouth or by our letter. How do we stand firm with a masterful grip if we don't know the word of God? Like, if you don't have it in you, how can you stand firm when the storms of life come? When things that we've already know, it's already 2022, and it's kind of been a little rough. Well, we have know it's going to get worse. So how are we going to stand firm through even more junk if we don't have a masterful grip on the Word of God, on what we have been taught, what our pastor's saying. We have to be in church. We have to be constantly being fed, whether it's at home in your private time or whether you're at church, all of it. We have got to have a masterful grip so we can stand firm and not be shaken. We have to know these things, you guys. It can't be head. It's got to be heart. Because I'm going to, and this isn't just like, obviously I'm touching on the glory, but this is in all areas. This is, if it's healing, if it's prosperity, if it's peace, if it's joy, whatever it is, whatever the promise of God is, we have to get it from here to here. Because that is what He's given us. We have to know what we have. Don't be a hoarder. We have all these things already. We have it all. But we have to not only receive it, we have to take it. We have to like, oh yeah, that's mine. I don't need to accept this junk. You know what I'm saying? So, thank you. Thank you. Acts 16. Acts 16. I'm going to read. And it's also going to be out of the Passion, so. Okay. So I'm going to start in verse 23. So this is after everybody, I think, knows the story, but anyways, this is after Paul and Silas, and they cast a demon out of the slave girl, and then they got thrown into prison. At least I think it was that account, yeah. Okay, so it says, after they were severely beaten, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them securely. So the jailer placed them in the innermost cell of the prison and had their feet bound and chained. Paul and Silas, undaunted, prayed in the middle of the night and sang songs of praise to God while the other prisoners listened to their worship. I'm going to pause there because I really like when it says, Paul and Silas, undaunted, prayed in the middle of the night and sang songs of praise. The word undaunted means not intimidated or discouraged by difficulty, danger, or disappointment. They had just been beaten, severely beaten, and thrown into the innermost cells. And I can't remember all what Rick Renner talked about, like how bad those cells were and how nasty they were and like sewers. Wasn't it like he talked about like the sewers were down there and it was like, so not only are you hurting, but now you get in this nasty place. And what do? They're not moved. They're not disappointed. Whatever. I'm going to sing and praise God and pray. And what does it say? That the prisoners were what? Listening to their worship. I also thought that was very interesting and good. So I'm going to read on. It says, suddenly, a great earthquake shook the foundations of the prison. All at once, every prison door flung open and the chains of all the prisoners came loose. Startled, the jailer awoke and saw every cell door standing open. Assuming that all the prisoners had escaped, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself when Paul shouted in the darkness, stop, don't hurt yourself, we are all here. And I'm going to stop there. We all know the story that then jailer, they go and you can keep reading it. They save his whole household and all this, great, which is awesome. But what I also thought was good is I just thought this is how my brain works, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. I just thought it was interesting because we've known about the miracle of, you know, the prison doors opening and the chains dropping loose. But when I was reading and it says that the jailer awoke and saw that every cell door standing open, and he said, assuming that they had all escaped, well, how? So obviously we know that it was dark in there. He's assuming he didn't know that they escaped. So either he couldn't, even if they had, like I said, this is my brain, even if it was wood walls and he couldn't see into the cells, that means Paul couldn't see the jailer. So Paul said, so he drew his sword. I doubt he said anything, oh, I'm going to kill myself. Or, you know, Paul says, stop. Don't harm yourself. So whether it's, that's another miracle. That's another, not miracle, that's another being led by the Spirit. Paul knew what he was going to do and says, stop, don't hurt yourself. This is what we need to be, sensitive to the Spirit of God. We've been talking about the miraculous. We've been talking about all of these things. How do we work in the miraculous? Like Pep was talking about, this is not hard. This, don't overcomplicate it. We need to know if we want, it's something that will happen. walking in the miraculous, walking, like when you're in the grocery store and praying for something, this is something that when you are undaunted, you're not moved by what's going on around you. You are undaunted. You realize what you have inside of you. This is something that you'll flow in. The miraculous just comes. It's not only for Pastor Larry. It's not only for ministers. The miraculous is for all of us. We need to not be just assuming that miracles can't happen in our day-to-day life. You know what I'm saying? This is what we need to realize these things, you guys. This is the power that we have on the inside of us. This is what God has given us. This is what we are in possession is. This is what our present enjoyment and participation should be, because we have them. It's in there. It's in there. That's what I have, so I'm not done. I'm assuming you would like more, right? You want a psalm and all this stuff? Yes? Okay. He gave me the thumbs up. That I'm short-winded because I'm really not a preacher. Whatever. Anyways, praise the Lord. I have to take a little commercial because I have to get set up. We are going to sing and we're going to worship. I'm going to set this down. So I would like you guys all to stand, please. I'm going to get set up here. They have the words up there. It might not be a familiar song, but I've got to make sure I can hear. But it doesn't matter, because the Spirit of God is here. Father God, we worship you.
Holy, holy, holy. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Folks, that's psalming. Is prophetic utterances in song. Was it very interesting that God laid out a plan for you? God laid out a plan for all of us for 2022. Just come close. Even more today than it's always been, we always needed to. But we are now in the position that all the corruption is coming public. And all of a sudden we're beginning to know about corruption. And they're after us. I mean, you know, it was really, you know, Pastor Jeremy's favorite saying, it's good to be me. Well, it's good to be us and him. It's not good to be you. Unless you're in him. I'm telling you what. You bet. Take advantage of where you're at and whose you are. Because otherwise it will not be good for you, even if you're a believer. The only thing good about it will be you'll go to heaven when you die. But, you know, but don't. It's good to be you if you are in him and stay in there. Walk under that cloud. Stay around that fire. Amen. Well, take 10 minutes. Be back. I got a good report for you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If it ministered to you, please share it with a friend. You play a vital role in helping us fulfill the vision God gave to reveal a friend in this region. For more information, please visit BreakForthBibleChurch.com.